40 greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with our English Premier League football question of the week. And once again, here's VOA's Downtown Brown.
Hey, I'm VOA's Downtown Brown, and I'm back again with Question of the Week. We had great answers for Question of the Week. The question was, do you think Arsenal Gunners will give Chelsea their first loss of the season? If so, why? So the top comments go to four people, two people that argued for Chelsea and two people that argued for Arsenal. Solo, Abuji, and Ibrahim Nabusi, who are from Nigeria, side with Arsenal winning against Chelsea. And they said revenge will be in their minds. And EPL highest goal scorer Diego Costa is starting to show signs of fatigue. And since Chelsea struggles against teams that keep the ball on the ground, I'm tipping that Sanchez or Wilbek will score in this match. And Victor Mbaha Chika and Keyot Olari, also from Nigeria, who's siding with Chelsea winning against Arsenal, saying that even though Chelsea won 6-0 to Arsenal this March, and now they're both undefeated, and since majority of Arsenal players are on the injury list, like Aaron Ramsey and Mikel Arteta, Arsenal cannot stop Chelsea's unbeaten run. So he asks us, who's going to tame Chelsea's midfield? Top injuries for Arsenal, Mikel Arteta, Aaron Ramsey, and Theo Walcott. For Liverpool, Daniel Sturridge, Glenn Johnson, and for Chelsea, Didier Drogba. And we'll keep you up to date on recent injuries and stories on facebook.com/VOASunny. Soccer news. Danny Welbeck is the third player in Arsenal history to score a hat-trick. Cristiano Ronaldo has 10 goals in 6 matches, passing Diego Costa with 8 goals. Games to watch over the weekend. Manchester United vs. Everton is on Saturday. Aston Villa vs. Man City. Chelsea vs. Arsenal is on Sunday, and check your local listings for the time. That's all the time I have. Thanks for leaving your comments, and be sure to listen to the Sunny Side of Sports and catch our Question of the Week on Tuesday at facebook.com/VOASunny. I'm VOA's Downtown Brown, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I also pose Downtown's EPL question of the week. Can the Gunners of Arsenal give the Blues of Chelsea their first loss this season? To our football guru, David Legg.
Tony, I think the Gunners will do well to get away from there with a draw. They haven't got a particularly good record against Chelsea. And also, there's a lot of friction between Jose Mourinho and Arsene Wenger. No love lost whatsoever between the Portuguese Mourinho and the Frenchman Wenger. Some of the comments by Mourinho against the Frenchman, Sonny, are, a little bit below the belt. There's a lot of psychological warfare going on there. Chelsea, of course, with the addition of Diego Costa, are looking much sharper up front now. A couple of problems in defense. They did leak 3 goals recently at Everton, although they scored 6, of course. They're looking more formidable, and I think, Sonny, it's very early days yet. But at this stage, I would say Chelsea, they're looking potential winners. I think Manchester City can go close. Manchester United, I just don't see them getting enough away wins to be serious title challengers. And a team that are not showing the same form as they did last season are Liverpool, dropping 2 points at home against Everton. They're not looking like title challengers either at this stage. Nor are Tottenham Hotspur, so it could well be a repeat of last season with Chelsea and Manchester City slugging it out, but maybe this time it's going to be the pensioners from London, Chelsea, who will emerge victorious.
David, Africa's best women's football teams will be gathering in Namibia in October for the Continental Championship. Why don't you take a look at the tournament, David, beginning with the groups and the participating teams?
Right, Sonny. Namibia are going to host it. This is the first time a CAF tournament has gone to Namibia. And it's eight teams divided into two groups of four, and the top two sides in each group will qualify for the semifinals. In Group A, you've got Namibia, Zambia, Nigeria, and Ivory Coast. So it's very much a south and west of Africa affair. You've got Namibia and Zambia from the south, and you've got Nigeria and Ivory Coast from the west. Now, Nigeria are the obvious favorites in that group. They've got a very powerful women's team, and they're always there or thereabouts. And Ivory Coast, they could well be a side to watch, Sonny, because they eliminated the holders, Equatorial Guinea, in the qualifying competition. And Equatorial Guinea, although their male teams have not really been a force in African football, they've been very strong in women's football. So I would say, without any hesitation at this stage, Nigeria and Ivory Coast to qualify for the semifinals. But it's not as easy to predict Group B because you've got South Africa, who've done a lot of preparing, playing quite a few warm-up matches. You've got Cameroon, you've got Algeria, and you've got Ghana. So I expect this to be a tighter group and maybe harder to predict. I'll stick my neck out, Sonny, and say two from three. I think it's going to be two from Ghana, Cameroon, and South Africa. Now, what makes this tournament particularly interesting is that for the first time, Africa will have three representatives at the World Cup, which Canada will host next year. Normally, it's been two countries from Africa. So the third-place match is going to take on particular significance. You'll have your two semifinals, and the winners of those two will automatically qualify for the World Cup as well as for the African final. And then the third-place match, which is often something that, frankly, players, they just go through the motions because there's not an awful lot at stake. And there's even debates at times, Sonny, in Africa as to whether these matches should even be staged at all. But this time there will be everything to play for because the winners of that third place match will be the third African representatives at the World Cup. So, Sonny, all eyes on Namibia. The matches will be played in two stadiums in Windhoek, the Independence Stadium and the Sam Nujoma Stadium. Now, Sam Nujoma, he was the man who led Namibia to independence in 1990, and he was the first president of the country. And the tournament starts on the 11th of October and runs until the 25th. And as promised, we will keep a close eye on that on the Sunny Side of Sport, bringing you all the results, all the action, and, of course, the news about which three countries will represent Africa at the World Cup in Canada next year.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Because this is Africa. Zamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Zamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
I'm very, 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 very excited. Nijabulile. Hola.
Because this is Africa. Zamina, mina, eh, eh.
Hi, I'm Shegun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
This is for the world.
Game on, VOA sports fans. Liberian football great George Weah, who celebrated his 48th birthday earlier this week, is doing his part in the fight against the deadly Ebola disease. The 1995 World African and European Player of the Year has recorded an anti-Ebola song with his friend, musician Barima Sidney. Reporter Benno Muchler met George Weah at his home near the capital, Monrovia, and he tells us more.
Africa, Mama Africa, we must all rise, sing together to fight Ebola.
George Weah sits in his living room at his house on the outskirts of Monrovia. The former soccer star just came back from a trip to Ghana, where he recorded a song about Ebola with his friend, musician Barima Sidney.
I was approached by the ministry to carry on awareness in our communities here in Liberia and the rest of Africa to fight against Ebola. And I thought, you know, music and television were the best things to do for people to get the message faster.
In the song, Weha talks about the ways of Ebola is transmitted and calls on his countrymen to take the necessary measures that are written everywhere on posters across Monrovia.
You know, it's a straight message, you know, let us fight against Ebola. And it could be your mama, it could be your papa, it could be your brother and sister, you know, from Liberia to Nigeria, from Guinea to Sierra Leone. Take precaution and be safe.
It could be your mama, your papa, brother, your sister.
The former presidential candidate opposes the government with his party, Congress for Democratic Change. But he says it's not the time to blame each other. While it's easy to point fingers at authorities or the healthcare system, everybody should think what he or she did wrong on a personal level, says Weha.
It's unfortunate that we woke up one day with this epidemic, Ebola. But again, we should hold ourselves responsible for the many deaths today. Because when it was declared that something called Ebola is coming into our society, a lot of people, they did not take it serious.
Weha is optimistic that the deadly disease can be successfully defeated in a common effort with the international community. Once this has been accomplished, Liberians should stay cautious and refrain from old habits so that the disease will never come back. Washing hands is one important precaution. Another is not touching the dead body of a loved one when one doesn't know the cause of death.
We have to refrain from doing what we did before. So what we need to do now is to live well, you know, be clean, you know, keep our environment clean for germs and disease not to come around. Make sure that our community are safe and continue to even help those who are helping or the health workers because those people risk their life and then take their advice.
Liberia is the country hardest hit by the current Ebola outbreak. More than 1,500 Liberians have been killed by the disease. The World Health Organization warns that without quick action, more than 20,000 people across Liberia and nearby countries could be infected. Benno Müchter for VOA News, Monrovia.
Africa, Mama Africa, we must all rise, sing together to fight Ebola.
We must all arise, listen together to fight Ebola.
We are Project Ebola.
We live in a world, my people, full of uncertainties. No security, everything be possible. It could be your mama, your papa, brother, your sister. Let's stand together to fight this deadly disease now. What kind of world we live in, full of uncertainties. No security, everything be possible. It could be your mother, your father, even your sister. Let's start together to fight this deadly disease now. From Liberia to Nigeria,
from Guinea to Sierra Leone, take precaution, be safe.
Mama Africa.
Africa.
We must all arise.
Lord have mercy.
Listen together.
stand together.
Ebola virus named after a river in Congo, where the disease was first discovered in 1977. It spread through direct contact with the blood of an infected person, through contact with needles and other infected objects of persons, and also contact with infected animals, possibly by eating infected meat. Symptoms of Ebola include fever, headache, joints and muscle pain, followed by vomiting and severe diarrhea, rashes, internal and external bleeding. Ebola has no cure. Infected person must be isolated or infection may spread to others. If you know anyone exhibiting the Ebola symptoms, do not wait. Ensure that person is taken to the nearest hospital for tests to be done. As of July 27, 2014, Ebola has claimed the life of over 670 people in West Africa and is now threatening the lives of health workers. If reported early, a sick person may be treated. Ebola has 10% survival rate. So let us all take action now. Africa.
From Liberia to Nigeria.
From Guinea to Sierra Leone. Take precaution, be safe. It could be your mama, papa, brother or sister. Take precaution, be safe. God bless Africa. Africa. We are project.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, Sierra Leonean footballer Michael Lahoud, like George Weah, is playing a leading role in raising awareness about Ebola. The 28-year-old Lahoud, a midfielder for the Philadelphia Union Club in Major League Soccer, is one of the leaders of an online social media campaign with the hashtag Kick Ebola in the Butt. Participants are asked to post a video of themselves kicking a ball off a partner's rear end. Contributions benefit Doctors Without Borders, the global health organization that has been on the front lines of the Ebola crisis. Lahoud says during recent trips to Africa, including one earlier this month to the Democratic Republic of Congo, he's witnessed and experienced the fear, panic, and prejudice brought by the outbreak. Lahoud traveled with Sierra Leone's national team, the Leone Stars, for a 2015 Africa Cup of Nations qualifier in Lubumbashi in the DRC. He says throughout the match at Mazembe Stadium, Congolese fans yelled Ebola, Ebola at Sierra Leone's team. Lahoud also has American citizenship. He says he's in a unique position being both African and American, and the Kick Ebola in the Butt campaign uses soccer and fun to bring awareness. Here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Sierra Leonean footballer Michael Lahoud of Major League Soccer's Philadelphia Union Club. In African athletics, our big story this week was Kenya's Dennis Kimeto setting a new marathon world record in Berlin, Germany. Kimeto became the first man in history to finish under 2 hours and 3 minutes, clocking 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 57 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Kimeto after the race. Here's Andy.
We're talking with a man who's just made marathon history, Dennis Kimeto, who has won the BMW Berlin Marathon 2014. Not only has he won it, not only has he broken the world record, he is the first man ever to break 2 hours and 3 minutes for the marathon. Dennis, first question, very simple. How does it feel to make history in the marathon?
I'm feeling good for this race. For now, I am happy for world record.
Is this a dream for you? You know, you've only been running for, 6 years? Is it a dream come true?
Yeah, but now it's running for just 9 marathon. But I am happy and I expected to put again world record.
In the race, did you think, were you confident that you could break the world record?
Yeah, in the race, you will see the people inside, he was Jeremy, but then I think he was, mine was it, I put the world record.
You know, people have talked, when will 2 hours, 3 minutes be broken? And most people thought, well, a few years away, not now. But for you seem so relaxed and confident about it. Is that true, that your training was so good that you thought you could do this?
Yeah, after that, come here, I train good. So.
Just one more question, Dennis. You're now the world record holder. Do you think, and you're still quite young, do you think, especially in your running career, do you think you can break the world record again?
Yeah, I expected to run record again. Maybe next year I will come here to put again the world record.
Well, fantastic. I think all of us just stand back in awe of what you've achieved. Dennis Kimeto of Kenya, the new world record holder and champion of the BMW Berlin Marathon 2014. Dennis, fantastic day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ethiopia's Terfi Sagaye set a personal best in winning the women's title at the Berlin Marathon with a time of 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 18 seconds. Terfi's training partner, Ethiopian countrywoman Fesa Tedessa, was the second woman across the line, 9 seconds back. And American Shalane Flanagan was third in a personal best of 2 hours, 21 minutes, and 14 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Shalane after the race. Once again, here's Andy.
We're talking with Shalane Flanagan with kind of mixed emotions because you were looking so good. You're on course to break Dina Caster's US record, looking at that 2:19 territory until, well, more than 20 kilometres. You've still run a personal best and finished third, so you can't say the wheels fell off. What have you learned from today?
Today's performance puts me number 2 all-time as an American, surpassed all of Dina's 2:21s and Joan Benoit Samuelson. So I surpassed some really amazing women, so I can't be too sad about that. I definitely have to figure out how I can close better, but maybe it's just something more experience. I was hoping to go from 2:22 all the way down to 2:19, so maybe that was an aggressive goal, but I think it's important to push myself to set those really big goals in order to just commit to the training and not be afraid of it. I certainly wasn't afraid of committing to such a fast race. But it was also just really tough and not very enjoyable the last mile. So.
Aggression, nobody could accuse you of lacking aggression or commitment, because this year you've improved your PB by some 4 minutes. If you take into account Boston, where you went out very strongly for over 30K, and now here. So can you perhaps develop the latter stage of your race?
That's something to figure out. I don't know if it's just lack of something in training, or if I need to mentally be tougher for some reason. But maybe it's a combination of both. I need to just mentally tell myself I need to run faster. I don't know. But my legs don't seem to respond. But at the end of the day, I believe that I have what it takes, and I'll work on those.
It must be difficult, because in one sense it's all about trying, the commitment in training hard. But it's a danger. Sometimes people try too hard. I mean, I know it's easy for an elderly athletics journalist to say that, but you know what I'm getting at. You know, it's that sometimes things may happen when you almost don't expect it.
True. I've had that happen myself in numerous times in my career, where my expectations were quite low and I surpassed them like with flying colors. So, I think I'm always open to the possibility of some excellence, and today was still an excellent showing. And, maybe in the future marathons, I won't maybe be as aggressive, and something fabulous could happen. So we'll see.
And just thinking ahead to, in terms of championships next couple of years, or next year, World Championships Beijing in 2015, and of course Rio, the Olympics 2016. Would that feature on your horizons, or are you really thinking about those American records where, nobody expects really on the whole to set national records in championship races, not least because they're usually they are always in the supper, and as you say, hot. Beijing, hot. Rio, hot.
Yeah. I don't plan on running the marathon in Beijing at all. I would rather just go back to the track and kind of get back to those turning the wheels over a little bit. But for sure, Rio, would love to be in the marathon. I can't expect fast times out of those kind of scenarios because of the championship style and the warm conditions. It's all about just executing a really excellent race and racing your competition.
That's American marathon runner Shalane Flanagan, and Shalane was talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in Berlin, Germany. Joining us now from Johannesburg with more sports news is our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Gouma. And Mark kicks off with Rwanda football.
The Rwanda sports minister, Joseph Habineza, reiterates that they will no longer have players with dual citizenship in their national football team, the Amavubi. Habineza told the Kigali media that dual citizenship among some of their national team players has cost the country. The latest case is that of striker Dadi Birori, who was recently banned from football for 2 years by the Confederation of African Football for having a Rwanda and a Democratic Republic of Congo passports bearing different names and dates of birth. The matter led to Rwanda being disqualified from the 2015 Orange Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers. Meanwhile, hosts Namibia play Algeria in Windhoek as Zambia engage visitors Cameroon in Lusaka in women's friendlies tomorrow, Saturday. These teams are playing their final build-up matches ahead of the Telkom Namibia African Women's Championships due to start in Windhoek, Namibia next week. Turning to athletics, the 2011 IAAF World Athletics Championship long jump bronze medalist Ngondizashe Makusha is the most prominent of four Zimbabwean athletes who have secured Olympic solidarity scholarships to enable them to train and compete effectively as they prepare for the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympics in Brazil. Sprinter Gabriel Mvumvure, together with London Olympic marathon runners Kasper Nyasango and Wirimai Juwao, are the other beneficiaries of this program. Finally, in cricket, South African Peter Kirstens is the new Uganda national cricket coach. His immediate challenge is to guide the Ugandans during the week-long ICC Division III Cricket League in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, which starts on the 23rd of October. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing you all a fabulous weekend.
Thanks, Mark, and you have a fabulous weekend, too. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Audrius Regis for his technical support on the program, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports. Julien Craver.